Brave Man stared at the flames crackling around the arm-thick branches. His heart beat strongly against his breastbone, driven by the power of the dream. Flying Hawk ducked through the flap, already dressed in the long war shirt of the Sun People. His pack hung from one hand, war darts and Otlatl in the other. A tall, muscular warrior, he inspected Brave Man with keen eyes that stared out from either side of a hawkish nose. Talons had been tattooed in red on his hollow cheeks. For the raid, he wore his hair up in a roach pinned by a bone clip carved from a scapula. An amused smile bent his thin lips.
What is this talk?
Pale Raven slipped in behind him, moving to her place across the lodge. Brave Man pointed a finger at the man.
Not talk. A dream. The Black Point will ambush you. A man will see you coming and run to warn the Black Point. I couldn't see it all, but the final trap is a narrow drainage between two sandstone-capped walls. The darts will rain down on you, and you won't be able to see to cast back at them. They'll be hidden by the sandstone at the top. On uneven ground and thick brush, you can't cast uphill accurately. Two men, flute and two shields, will die in the trap. Others will be wounded as they flee. Two more will die as the Black Point chase you away.
Why should I believe you, Brave Man? This raid has been planned for a long time. Hawksbeard began to talk about it in the middle of winter. He scouted the camps of the Black Point and told us how to attack them. Now you have killed Hawksbeard, and I will lead the raid. Do you act against me?
Brave Man met the warrior's stare.
I have no love for the Black Point.
He pulled back his hair to bare the scar on his scalp.
They did this to me. Only through power did I escape from the camp of the dead, where they tried to send me. I wish you luck in killing all of them, but I can't ignore the dream. When power speaks, I must listen. Power brought me to you. Perhaps it was to save the broken stones from defeat such as I have dreamed. Do not go on this raid.
I've made power of my own, Brave Man. I cleansed myself and went to a high place to pray and call upon Bear for courage and cunning. I received no vision of defeat.
Don't go, Flying Hawk. I have told you what I saw in the dream. I can do no more.
Flying Hawk cast a quick glance across the fire at Pale Raven.
My warriors are ready to leave. Perhaps we'll see if this dream of yours has any truth. But I will be most careful to keep from being discovered.
He jerked his head at Pale Raven.
She will take good care of you until I return, I'm sure. Then we'll talk again.
Flying Hawk ducked through the lodge flap.
Don't go!
Pale Raven coolly ignored Flying Hawk's slur.
He'll go. You couldn't have stopped him. This is his chance to fill Hawksbeard's tracks as the greatest warrior of the Broken Stones. He thinks people will look up to him. That his power is as great as Hawksbeard's was. I wonder if he knows Hawksbeard sired his last child off Flying Hawk's wife, Two Roses.
Brave Man leaned his head back.
One would get the feeling Hawksbeard took most of the women in camp.
Pale Raven studied him from behind lowered eyelids.
Oh, he did. He had a way with women that left them wanting more. Unlike most men, he didn't lose his hardness after he planted his seed. He knew women, knew where to touch them, how to move to bring them a great deal of pleasure. He claimed it was his special power, one of the things that made him great in war, and that he could bestow it with his seed into the women he took. I wasn't the only one he fooled. Just the only one who got caught.
But you'd been caught before?
I'd been caught before.
She poked at the fire again, unconcerned.
Perhaps I offended power somewhere along the way. I don't know.
You sound like you don't care.
She leaned her head back, exposing the firm lines of her throat.
You're young, Brave Man. Have you ever had a woman?
No.
White Ash preoccupied you that much?
She lifted a knowing eyebrow.
I could teach you many things.
Things you learned from your husbands and Hawksbeard?
Among others. I make no excuses. I know what I want of life, and I didn't get it from my first two husbands. I want power and prestige. I am a sensual woman, brave man. I demand pleasure, whether it's a finely crafted robe, soft furs to sleep on, or rich meat to eat. I wanted to be loved with passion and vigor. My husbands gave me none of those things.
Will you give me pleasure?
The sultry look she gave him sent a thrill through his body.
To do so might cause you pain.
Stand up. Take your clothes off. I would like to look at you.
Without a change of expression, she rose to her feet and slipped the soft leather of her dress over her head. She stood before him, feet braced. Firelight caressed the smooth firmness of her flesh. Her breasts were full and upright, unspoiled by an infant's suck. The nipples tightened in the air. Her belly remained flat, muscular, leading down to the black mat of her pubic hair. Muscles rippled in her powerful thighs. He nodded and threw back his robe.
Teach me what you know about pleasure. Teach me everything.
Morning drifted softly out of the east as they lay together. The weight of her nourished a curious contentment that spread through his body and warmed his soul. He stroked the rounded curve of her buttocks. Her hands cradled his head, fingers tracing the tops of his ears, while her hair spilled around them like a silken veil. Her full breasts pressed against his muscular chest. He began to respond again to the way she moved against him.
You learn well.
Who were those two husbands of yours?
She stared into his eyes, the smooth features of her perfect face inscrutable in the faint light.
My first husband was Flute. The other was Two Shields.
Brave Man slit his eyes against the sensations rising from his pelvis.
They will die with Flying Hawk.
If your dream is true, Brave Man. Only if your dream is true.
It is.
White Ash stopped and pointed to the top of the rise where the drifts melted against the sky.
Someone's there.
Those are elk.
Bad Belly shielded his eyes to look up the slope.
There's someone there, sitting in the midst of the elk.
Bad Belly squinted against the light. The elk seemed unconcerned as they grazed along the saddle he and White Ash climbed toward. He could see the curious shape. It did look like a man.
It's probably just a hunter's trick of some sort. Maybe a rock cairn piled up to look like a man on a driveline. Look at the elk. They're feeding, not worried at all. They wouldn't just stand there if there was a person so close. I'll bet it's a cairn.
I don't know. I've got this...
This what?
Funny feeling.
They climbed up the bottom of a snow-filled valley between the shoulders of two mountains. Patchy clouds raced west on the midday wind.
Funny feeling?
Bad Belly looked around.
I guess I can feel it too.
He looked down at Trouble. The unconcerned dog flopped down to chew the snow out from between the pads on his feet.
Let's go back.
Bad Belly stamped to fight the chill in his bark-wrapped toes.
If we go back through all that snow we just climbed across, my feet are gonna freeze. It's no more than two dart casts to the top and warm sunlight. I say it's a rock cairn of some sort.
White Ash sucked at her lips. Guilt in her eyes at the mention of the bark he wore, so she could have the warm moccasins.
I suppose you're right. Let's hurry then. I feel something, like being watched. And that thing up there, human or not, isn't helping any.
The elk wouldn't stand there like that, you'll see. The instant they catch sight of us, they'll be gone as fast as... Well, as scared elk.
She nodded half-heartedly as Bad Belly forced his shivering body past her to break a trail through the crusted drifts.
Oh, he's cold these days.
Bad Belly felt his stiff muscles protest. His feet had gone numb hours ago. Only moving, Keeping the painful circulation in his feet had saved him from frostbite so far. Maybe, if he was lucky. One of the cow elk raised her head and stared right into his eyes. The entire herd wheeled and disappeared as if they'd never been there.
Magical creatures.
Only that curious black silhouette remained, hauntingly human. The figure rested on the horizon, backlit by the sun like a small nipple on the crest of the saddle. The bitter cold numbed Bad Belly's toes as he shuffled ahead. When they crested the ridge, he'd be on the sunny side. Maybe they'd find a place where the rocks radiated the heat so he could sit and warm his chill-pained limbs.
Strips of woven bark were never made to be walked in. The antelope people might get by with it, but they live in the south. Left Hand says the only snow they get down there is just a dusting that melts with the noonday sun. What do we get? Drifts that blow around all winter and make a man's joints ache.
White Ash remained ominously silent. The figure rested no more than a dart's throw away now.
I don't like this. If anyone is up there, he could walk out on snowshoes and drive a dart right through us from top to bottom.
Thank you. I needed to hear that.
Bad Belly used his elbows to break the crusted surface of a drift. Underneath, the snow had become granular, like gravelly ice. Panting, he crawled through the hole he'd mashed in the drift and reached back, offering his good hand to pull White Ash through. Trouble, Buck jumped his way up the loose snow, scrambling and clawing to get onto the hard crust above. Bad Belly had begun to shiver again as the cold ate into his flesh. He tried to catch his breath as he turned and struggled toward better footing where the rocks poked out. One step out of two broke through the hardened crust. Then he felt rock underfoot.
Oh, made it.
Trouble had come to a halt, nose working as he scented the wind. Generally, when he smelled elk, he rushed forward, eager to sniff the scat and poke his nose into the tracks. Now he stood frozen.
Oh no.
A time-worn old man sat watching them through placid black eyes. He rested on a rock, legs crossed, white hair wrapped in a beaverskin hat. A robe made from finely tanned mountain sheepskin lay on his shoulders. The man's face riveted Bad Belly's attention. Old, terribly old. Wrinkles had grooved the features, running down from the corners of the eyes to bracket a thin-lipped mouth. As with most old people, the nose had grown out of proportion to the face, dominating his visage. As if to mock the sag of facial skin, the eyes burned, lit by an inner power that dwarfed Bad Belly's soul. Fear knotted tighter than wet rawhide thongs in Bad Belly's breast, but he stepped forward.
Greetings, Grandfather. A lot of snow back there. A lot of...
The figure remained still, as if it might have grown out of the gravelly soil or eroded from the surrounding rock, part of the mountain's bones. Bad Belly shivered, partially from the cold, partially from the way his soul quaked as he stared into those forever eyes.
White Ash, try talking to him in Sun People talk.
White Ash stood paralyzed beside him, her grip tightening until his hand hurt. He glanced at her and found her lips parted, a glazing in her eyes. Trouble had circled to stand behind them, ears cocked as he watched the figure.
You need not talk in the language of the Sun People, Stillwater. That will come in its time.
You know me?
It's been a while, man of the people. You were younger then.
Bad Belly stepped forward. He studied the face, seeking the familiarity that tickled at the corners of his memory.
Singing Stones? You... Singing Stones?
The old man nodded slowly.
I was him.
Was? Not a ghost. Tell me you're not a spirit.
What is any man? A name? A name consists of words, sounds uttered from the mouth. Once I thought I was someone called Singing Stones. A name is folly, illusion.
What do I call you then?
Call me Singing Stones. It will be easier for you, for the time being.
Time being?
You and White Ash are shivering. Come, I know a place for you to rest and warm yourselves. I have food there.
Singing Stones rose slowly. Turning to face the sun, He let its rays shine on the furrowed seams of his weathered skin.
How do you know me?
I've known you for many seasons, White Ash. You filled my dreams. To a dreamer, time loses itself, becomes less and more than living people think. I might have missed you had not the traitor Left Hand come by my camp. He told me he'd thought to bring Bad Belly to me. Had he done so, Bad Belly wouldn't have been there for you when you needed him. First Man took a hand, weaving the pattern Warm Fire began, and Left Hand took up.
You came to meet us? You knew we would cross this pass today?
Singing Stones turned, expressionless.
I didn't know you would be here today. I only knew you would be here. I have watched 2 sunrises since I came to await your arrival.
2 days? Just sitting there? And you didn't freeze?
I didn't freeze. My stay was refreshing. You can feel the earth up here and hear the sky. The One comes more easily, since illusion can be discarded with ease. I called the Elk to come share their thoughts with me. Elk are delightful company. They are more knowledgeable than people think.
You called them? Talk to them?
Singing Stones nodded, eyes hazy as he drifted in his thoughts.
We were one. Talking would have been pointless.
One.
Bad Belly recalled the power dream.
But they didn't run away? They sure ran away when that lead cow saw us.
She knew you were not one.
What do you mean, one? I thought you felt the One only in a dream, or when you died.
White Ash stood closer to Bad Belly. Singing Stone smiled again, his expression a reflection of all that was good and peaceful.
You are blinded by illusion in your conscious life. I can tell you no more. Not now. The only way to understand is to be. Come, let us warm you before the cold damages your bodies.
He led the way, angling off the saddle, picking a careful path through the rounded caps of pink granite. Sheer cliffs dropped away before a vista of the Wind Basin to the south. White Ash glanced skeptically at Bad Belly.
He knew we were coming?
Bad Belly chewed his lip, squinting after the old man.
He sang for me when I was little, when the rattlesnake poisoned my arm. I would have died but for his power.
Did you understand what he said? All those things about illusion and time?
No. But I think we should go with him.
I'd rather...
There is no place on this earth where you'd be as safe as in Singing Stone's camp. The wolf people would rather dart themselves than confront him.
Sun people, on the other hand.
Then he'll see them coming first. I think he sees everything.
Was he always like this?
No. But that funny feeling you had on the other side of the mountain, that was his power. We both felt it.
What's the matter? You're shaking your head.
I can understand why he wants you. You're going to be a dreamer. But why me? I did my part. I was there to save your life. Why can't I go home now?
She tightened her grip on his hand to reassure him.
Because I need you with me. I'm frightened. Something's going to happen, and you're part of it.
How do you know that?
It's in the dreams, Bad Belly. I haven't told you all of them.
Despite the cramps in his muscles and the frostbite in his feet, warmth kindled in his gut. He smiled.
I won't leave if you need me. But maybe you'd better tell me the rest of these dreams soon.
Windrunner ran, forcing himself to the edge of endurance. The muscles of his legs rippled in the afternoon sunlight. He vaulted the sage, fully aware of the risks of running too fast. His starved lungs fought for air. The back of his throat burned hot and dry, and his tongue stuck when he tried to swallow. The tremble of fatigue lay just beyond the threshold of his exertion. Before him, the buff-colored sandstone-capped headlands jutted against the sky as they rose to either side. Windrunner threw a quick look over his shoulder. The Broken Stones warriors had strung out in a ragged line behind. Now they ran a deadly earnest race as his pursuers pushed themselves to match his killing stride.
I must have been out of my mind.
he reached the slope, climbing the brush-covered incline in giant leaps while his heart strained and fear frayed the edges of consciousness. Windrunner thought back, remembering with pride how he stepped forward when Fire Rabbit came panting into camp.
Broken Stones! A party of warriors is coming from the east! I saw them sneaking along the drainage bottoms. There are at least 10 of them working up the river.
Get your weapons! We can meet them! Keep them from a surprise attack!
That was when Windrunner stepped into their midst.
How far away are they?
Just below where the caprock is cut by the river. Not far.
Windrunner looked at one man.
If we fight in the open, some of us will die. More will be wounded.
War is like that, Windrunner. Or do you plan to take Hot Fat with you to stop the fight partway through?
Neither. But you know where the caprock rises to the north? You know the place of the old buffalo jump? If a lone warrior might appear to stumble upon them and then run, perhaps he could lead the enemy to that place. If our warriors were on that caprock, they could deal the broken stones a severe blow and not lose a man.
One man had hesitated.
And who would act as bait?
Windrunner lifted his hands.
Who can outrun me?
And if it doesn't work? If you get killed?
Then you're no worse off than you would have been. They might be even more reckless, flushed with a feeling of victory. But if it works, we'll send them running and make them consider long and hard before they try us again.
Hot Fat's granddaughter, Aspen, stepped forward.
It might work. Remember what happened to my husband last year? This might be a way to turn their arrogance against them.
Windrunner glanced at her, met her veiled look. Since that first night when he and Hot Fat ate and talked of power, she'd watched him, no expression on her heart-shaped face. He still couldn't tell whether or not she even approved of him.
She's right. The Broken Stones are arrogant. It's always been one of their weaknesses.
One man had looked up at the sky, watching the red-tailed hawks sail in the rising currents of spring air.
Let's try it. Go, Windrunner. You'll have to spot them first. Be careful. We'll be too far away to come to your aid. May the sun and Thunderbird give you strength to mix with your courage and audacity. Go! Run, my friend! Run like your name. We'll lay the trap.
Windrunner grabbed up his darts and Atlatl, giving Aspen a nod of thanks as he trotted from the camp. All eyes followed him as the other warriors gathered to follow one man along the caprock.
I was out of my mind.
Loose dirt compacted under Windrunner's feet as he flung himself up the slope. He leaped to sagebrush and turned his foot on a rock as he landed. His pursuers knew they had him now. Windrunner gathered up his spilled darts and limped upward, favoring his ankle. How far? The gap in the headlands seemed so close and so very far away. Nothing seemed to be broken, but it hurt. Gritting his teeth, he hobbled on, knowing they would close on him. He looked back. No more than a dart's throw separated him from the nearest of them. Windrunner whirled, a dart knocked in his Atlatl. His arm went back and he cast with all his might. The pursuing warrior danced to the side as the deadly missile hissed past him. By that time, Windrunner had limped his way up into the rocks under the caprock. To either side, the rocks rose steep, impossible to climb. Brush grew thick in here where snow collected in the winter, and the roots could feed off the rich waste of the buffalo. Windrunner tore into the dense thicket of serviceberry and currant.
Be up there. One man. By the sun and Thunderbird, be there for me. Or I'll die in this canyon.
His ankle had begun to throb until it blanked his senses. He couldn't stop, couldn't take the time to pick his steps. A dart whistled past him, cutting its way into the thick brush. Windrunner dove headfirst into the dense growth, crawling like an awkward snake along the bottom of the drainage. The musky scent of the earth, rich with the rot of buffalo, clung in his nostrils. Where the water had cut a channel, he could crawl more easily.
I see no signs!
Come over this way!
I was looking over here on the other side!
Windrunner scrambled along while rocks bruised and scraped his elbows, knees, and belly. Screened as he was by the brush, his pursuers couldn't target him with their deadly darts. but his progress seemed so slow now. Behind him, brush crackled as yelling warriors pounded closer. They sounded right on top of him. What had happened to one man and the rest? He'd lost one of his darts, snagged in the twisted stems of the brush. The drainage sloped up, and now tumbled rock choked the bottom. Driven by panic, he barely felt the angular stones that his limbs battered against. Branches scratched at his face and hair and left angry wheels along his bare arms and legs. A dart lanced down beside him, rattling in the serviceberry stems. Had they seen him, or just gotten lucky?
Oh, I'll die here. Come out, little Black Point. Come out and die. Find him. He'll warn the others. Make the dream come true. Find him.
You come up here and look, Flying Hawk. You got darts. Poking around in here is like reaching under rocks for a rattlesnake. You can get bit.
Why are Flying Hawk and the rest hanging back? If it was that trap the White Clay dreamed about, the Black Point would have already shown up to fight us. Unless their courage is weak as winter urine.
Windrunner cocked his head. White Clay? Who?
The float! Look up here at the head of the canyon. You can't climb out without taking enough darts to look like a porcupine's big brother.
Be careful! He's got a good arm! We have to see him first!
Hey! Black Point! You hiding in there like a woman? Is that how you crotch-bleeding girls fight? Crawling around in the bushes?
Black Point like bushes! That's where they go to warm their manhood in their mother's mouths!
Windrunner stared up through the web of branches that veiled his hiding place. One man hadn't made it, or had let him down after all.
Hey, Black Point! Do you do it with dogs, too?
Windrunner ran a nervous hand over his face. That was it. He'd take no more. He rose slowly to his feet, peering out over the bud-thick tops of the choke cherry.
There he is!
A dart cut the side of Windrunner's war shirt. He promptly dropped flat on his belly, heedless of the dart the branches ripped out of his hand. He wiggled with the speed of Brother Weasel, trying to crawl quietly and quickly. Where in sun's bloody light had one man disappeared to? Windrunner pulled himself into a ball as a victory-charged warrior crashed past on the other side of a mat of serviceberry.
Are you sure you saw him? Maybe it was a shadow or some other animal, coyote or a bobcat.
It was him! Spread out! If he's here, we have to go through in a line. Drive him up to the head of the canyon and trap him.
That would work.
Flying Hawk! You and the rest get up here. It's no trap or we would have been attacked by now.
Was that the problem? Only a few of the broken stones had come to hunt him? Windrunner gripped the thick layer of leaves he lay on and had an idea. He began to burrow into the mat. A flush of hope warmed his heart. If he could bury himself in the leaves, he might have a chance. Ever so thin, but still a chance.
And I'll find my way back to one man's camp. So help me, if I live through this, I'll kill him this time. I'll drive a dart through him before he has a chance to blink. No one leaves Windrunner out to be a broken stone's target. No one!
Will it burn?
Windrunner's heart stopped. If they set fire to his sanctuary...
Too much sap in the brush. I think it would just smolder. These buds are too wet, too close to snowmelt.
Well, it's about time! Welcome to the hunt! Flying Hawk! We thought you and the rest had decided it was too dangerous for your...
It's a trap!
Windrunner cautiously dug himself out of the moldy leaves, reluctant to move, afraid he'd be skewered by his friends atop the caprock, or killed by the broken stones.
Ah, you broken stone dogs! Run like jackrabbits from a wolf! Show us your tracks, you miserable old women! Ha! Nail shell! Make sure that one's dead. I'll bash this one's brains just for good measure. Hey, Windrunner, you in here? You still alive? Or did you shit yourself to death?
Windrunner peered over the top of the brush. Fire Rabbit was smashing a heavy slab of sandstone down onto something.
You took long enough!
Windrunner pushed through the brush. Now that he'd been saved, the hurt left him lightheaded. Amazing how sheer gut-twisting terror could stop pain. Fire Rabbit stared at the remains of his victim.
They wouldn't all come up. They waited, just out of dart range, as if they knew we were there. That made some of us suspicious. One man had faith in you, though. He said it would work, that they were just being cautious, that if you had the guts and courage to stay alive, the rest of the broken stones would come. You did, and they did. Victory! Windrunner, you did it!
Windrunner hobbled over and stared down at the broken stones.
And one man?
He's chasing the broken stones. I'll bet we get another two or three besides these two. Four or five are wounded. One looks like he'll die on the way. Blue Wind's dart took him low in the back, and two of the broken stones had to support him. I think there'll be a lot of wailing in their lodges.
Windrunner hopped on one foot and braced himself on Fire Rabbit's shoulder.
We'll have a little wailing here in this canyon if you don't help me get my hurt ankle out of here.
We saw that. You sure made them howl. They thought you really hurt yourself.
I did.
To the east, Flying Hawk led his staggering band, stopping his warriors periodically to launch darts and keep the pursuing Black Point at bay. He kept to the middle of the broad floodplain of the Fat Beaver River so they couldn't be flanked or ambushed. If they survived this raid, it would be a miracle. Flute and Two Shields died in the first volley of darts. White Smoke would die of his wound in the back. Clap's hands staggered along, looking haggard, blood draining out of the hole a sharp dart had cut through his thigh. How many more would die? Flying Hawk had been careful, made leery by Brave Man's dream. At the same time, the scout couldn't have been allowed to escape. Surely the Black Point wouldn't have sat up on that cap rock while one of their fellows was hunted like a wounded jackrabbit. Surely the place wasn't right. Except it had been. And whoever waited up on that rim managed his warriors with a fist harder than quartzite. Just like Brave Man said. Flying Hawk glanced back at the Black Point, who followed them like wolves after a winter-starved elk herd. A new power had come to the Broken Stones. He looked up at the sun, now dipping to the western horizon.
Get me out of this, Thunderbird. You'll take enough of our souls to the Camp of the Dead this day. Just get me and those who still live out, and I will follow your new soul flyer who sees the future in his dreams. Flying Hawk swears this on his soul.
White Ash woke to the smell of roasting meat and the sweet tang of biscuit root. She lay in a rock shelter, a hollowed-out sandstone overhang capped by rimrock. A spiral had been painted with rich red ochre on the wall at the rear of the shelter. A magpie perched on a wooden peg that jutted from the back wall. The bird cocked its head as it eyed her.
Oh, she's up, you say?
White Ash peered over the piled mound of her bedding. Singing Stone squatted on the flat boulder that had fallen out of the roof and tended the fire. Back hunched, sunlight catching the infinity of wrinkles on his face, he looked so fragile that she could imagine a puff of wind might blow him away. Where his wrist stuck out of his thick sheepskin coat, the bones could have been willow sticks attached to a dried mockery of a gnarled hand.
Yes, she did sleep a long time.
You talk to the bird?
White Ash sat up. The robes had been delightfully warm and soft. The thick piles of furs had been placed on a bed of grass. How long had it been since she'd slept so soundly? How long since she'd done nothing but sleep? None of the power dreams crept into her slumber. Despite the meal they'd eaten the night before, her stomach yawned emptily. The hanging door hides had been pulled to the side. Golden sunshine poured through to illuminate the shelter and the soot-stained walls. Skin bags hung from the ceiling in the back, beyond even the most ingenious bushy-tailed pack rat reach. Several sandstone slabs on the dirt floor marked the location of storage cists, an arm's length from the back wall. Out of the rodent zone, but still back from ground moisture that seeped in from beyond the drip line. Three differently styled fire hearths, a rock-filled shallow basin, a slab-lined hearth, and a deep roasting pit had been placed in a triangular arrangement in the center. Two sandstone slabs had been planted upright as breeze deflectors for the fires. Outside, ragged mountains broke against the horizon. Clots of dark green timber contrasted with buff-colored sandstone outcrops that tumbled weathered talus into the cool blue shadows where deep snow lingered. A breeze, rich in scents of bitterbrush, grass, and damp earth, carried the warmth of the sun-shot rock into the shallow shelter.
Yes, I talk to many creatures, even to dreamers, eh? Powerful dreamers, like you.
Everyone seems to think I'm a dreamer except me. What happens if I don't want to be this dreamer?
Oh, you won't want to. No one wants to be a dreamer. That's part of the way dreamers are, at least the good ones. Any fool could wish to be a powerful dreamer, but he sees only the power and how it could do things for him. Make him an important person whom others look up to, that sort of thing. What the idiot doesn't understand is that you don't use power, it uses you. Anyone who wants to dream knows not what he asks, and is generally denied by power in the end. No, young White Ash, dreaming is for those who have to dream.
She wiped the sleep from her eyes and crossed her ankles as she leaned against the rock wall to study him.
I don't want to dream. I want to be left alone.
Singing Stones poked at the fire with a stick.
You have some time, short though it may be. You and Bad Belly. In the end, as is the way with all dreamers, you will have to make a choice between the one and the things of this world. You will have to choose illusion or truth.
She stood and pulled on Bad Belly's shirt, walking over to stare down into Singing Stone's sparkling eyes. The yellow light of morning glowed amber on the soft folds of his ancient skin.
I'll have to choose? And if I refuse to make a choice?
It doesn't work that way, Mother of the People. Power isn't like an old coat that you can discard along the trail of life. It's like your arms or your legs or your heart. It's part of you. You can decide not to use an arm, a useful example illustrated by Bad Belly's crippled condition. No, my girl. When you follow the path of the sun, you will act through power. Before you can attend to the tasks that await you, you need to learn the way of power, to fly to the stars and talk to the spirits of the ancestors, to Wolf Dreamer and Fire Dancer, and to the animals.
Attend to the tasks that await me? Listen, I watched the last of my clan butcher before my eyes. I've been beaten and raped. I killed the man who did that to me, and almost died of exposure and starvation not too many days ago. I know you are a great dreamer, Singing Stones, but I'm just not ready for you, or power, or anything else. I need time to mourn my dead and decide what I'm going to do. Not only that, I can't stay here. It's too close to the wolf people. And I'll kill the first one who shows up to share your lodge fire.
His beneficent smile never changed.
You have a long path ahead of you, Mother of the People. For the moment, you're upset, unsure of which way to turn, when to fight or run. You live on the ragged edge of unthinking panic, like a young fawn who has become separated from the herd. Be patient. Prepare yourself and find your center.
You don't understand. I'm not...
Her glance stopped at Bad Belly's empty sleeping spot. A cold knot contracted under her heart.
Perhaps I understand more than you know. But we have talked enough about dreams and power for now. Your ears are closed, and your mind has the resiliency of rock. Here, this is ready to eat. Sit.
He patted the hides next to him.
Sit, White Ash. Mountains do not rise to the sky overnight. The workings of power and the making of a dreamer must come in their own time.
Where's Bad Belly?
Bad Belly wouldn't have left her, would he? He wouldn't have given her over to the old spirit healer and turned his back.
Still water left early this morning.
Where?
She stood, crouched, as if to dart away.
Which way did he go? How long ago?
As Singing Stones gazed at her, his old eyes seemed to fall in upon themselves.
You are frightened? Yes, I see. You have died, have lost all you loved. She who was the old white ash drowned in the river, that old white ash drifts in silence beneath the water now.
Where's Bad Belly?
She bent down and grabbed him by the shoulders.
Where's Bad Belly? Did he leave me behind?
Singing Stones met her stare, and she stopped. The wild desperation twisted sideways in her mind as she looked into those incredible eyes. She seemed to lose her balance, barely realizing as her fingers slipped from his shoulders. Her soul melted, drifting off in a new direction, losing purpose.
Sit and eat. Your body needs the food. Stillwater will be back soon. He is on the ridgetop looking at a star wheel I built up there. He has not left you, nor will he.
When he smiled, her soul leaped with warmth, as if a tingling heat flowed to wrap itself around her. She blinked and shook her head when she finally managed to regain control of her scattered thoughts and tear her gaze from his. The shelter reeled as if it had slipped in and out of focus. She bent her head and gripped the bridge of her nose between thumb and forefinger, squeezing as if to fix her wavering vision.
How do you do that? Make a person lose their soul like that?
It's a simple shifting of power. You will learn how one day. I used it only to make you relax. Do eat before the meat gets cold. I'll spoon out some of this biscuit root. I think you'll like it. I use a special seasoning made of seeds from a pepper plant that grows many months' journey to the south. One of a group of important plants that will change the Sun People forever.
White Ash accepted the meat, using her teeth to tear off tender bites. Juicy and oddly spiced, the wonderful taste ran over her tongue. She attacked the rest, finally licking the drips from her hands and forearms.
What was that?
I fed you yearling buffalo, but the flavor is in that plant I was telling you about. You have to grind the fruits, you see. That's what gives the meat that warm flavor, like bee plant in spring. But this keeps all year when it's dried. A trader brings me a pack of it every time he comes through.
She took the horn bowl full of steaming biscuit root he offered and stared aimlessly into it. Then she shook her head slowly.
Singing Stones, the entire weave of my life has come undone. Everyone I loved is dead. From the moment we left the Fat Beaver River, my whole world began to fall apart. I don't have anything left. Not even myself.
She clamped her eyes shut.
Oh, what's happening to me?
Singing Stones placed a withered hand on her shoulder.
A new way, child. Be at peace. I told you the truth when I said that the old white ash died at the bottom of the river. To follow the way of power, you must die and be reborn. Water is the life giver. You passed through water and were reborn to a new life. Nothing remains of the old white ash. You cannot go back.
You mean all those people? Those people I still see in my mind died because of me? I was the real destruction of the white clay?
The end of the white clay served many purposes. Peoples, be they wolf people, earth people, sun people, or any others, have existences of their own. They too live on the spiral, each in their place. Some, like the earth people and the wolf people, are ancient. Other peoples form and dissolve within a generation, like babies who die after only a few days of life. The sun people are like anxious young men who have just found their manhood. They are a vigorous people, and from their place on the spiral, they have a great destiny. The sun leads them south, far south indeed. There they will raise their feathered god to the sun and become proud and forget the one. But some will stay here in this land. They will remember the one and keep Wolf sacred.
And I'm part of this.
He nodded again.
You and Stillwater. You are the future. You bridge the worlds. You have a very important part to play. Yours is the blood of First Man and Fire Dancer. These Sun people, they are a young race. Someone needs to set their feet on the path of the Spiral. I don't know all the ways of it yet. And I suppose I won't know until my spirit leaves this body and travels the Spiral.
White Ash dipped up some of the biscuit root, savoring the flavor before licking the sweet paste from her fingers.
None of this makes sense.
No. It won't for a while yet. And to find the way to the one, you need the wolf bundle. It sings with a thousand voices. All that is and is not. If the wolf bundle deems you worthy, it will open the path to the one for you. The bundle will guide you and dream you back.
What is this bundle?
Bad Belly stepped into the shelter. Trouble followed at his heels, looking around, and then flopped in a heap to chew at his tail.
The bundle.
Singing Stone sat, lost in private thoughts. White Ash set the horn bowl aside and leaped to her feet to hug Bad Belly.
I thought you were gone. That you'd left me behind.
I almost did.
She stared into his eyes, seeking to prove to herself that this wasn't so.
I need you, Bad Belly. Don't leave me. Don't go off and leave me here by myself.
I wouldn't. It's just that, well, I climbed up on top of the ridge to look at the star wheel Singing Stones made. You were asleep. I couldn't bring myself to waken you. Not when you were resting for the first time. And even smiling in your sleep. So, anyhow, Trouble and I climbed up there. It's a special...
Bad Belly, you said you almost left me.
I'd never do that. Not on purpose, I mean. No, what happened was that I sort of got to looking at the sky instead of where I was walking, trying to picture it at night, you see? Well, that's when I realized Trouble had stopped, and I turned around to see what he was doing, and I almost walked off the edge of the cliff.
That's what you meant by not coming back? That you almost killed yourself?
It happens sometimes. I get lost in my head, thinking about things.
Stillwater, come eat some of this.
Singing Stones lifted a slab of meat on a willow spit.
Come on.
She took Bad Belly's hand.
It's wonderful.
She sat down with Bad Belly, keeping a hand on his knee, imagining him as he walked along the ridgetop, eyes to the sky, no care of where he was or that a misstep would dash him on the rocks below. Her heart skipped, but then such things made Bad Belly who he was. She didn't just need him, he needed her.
The bundle. The bundle of First Man. The wolf bundle. That's the key to all the power you'll need. What I can't teach you, the bundle will.
Bad Belly chewed thoughtfully, swallowing.
You mean the sacred bundle of the wolf people?
Fear drove like an icicle through White Ash's chest.
Yes. It's been calling to me.
Singing Stones glanced slyly at Bad Belly.
You'll have to go. Steal it from them, you know. The wolf people won't just turn loose a power object like the wolf bundle.
Bad Belly gaped at the old man.
Steal the...
Are you crazy?
Brave Man held his tongue as the debate began around the Broken Stones council fire. Power pulsed through him, accompanied by the driving ache in his head.
Now is the time. Now you will make your place.
The fire lit the Broken Stones camp, dancing off the tan lodge covers in the background. It shone on the anxious faces of the people who ringed the council circle, waiting to hear about the failed raid. The women stood in knots, whispering to each other, casting suspicious glances at Flying Hawk. Brave Man studied Flying Hawk. The warrior sat cross-legged, stoic face lit by the rising flames of the bonfire. The red talon tattoos on his cheeks gleamed. He had done his hair in two simple braids that hung over the shoulders of his bearhide war shirt. Despite the fact that his fate as a war leader would be decided here, his face could have been carved of stone. The clan leader, Buffalo Tail, and the old soul flyer, Sunfeathers, were seated across from Flying Hawk. Buffalo Tail's wife, Cloudy Sky, a large woman with a round face, sat to his right. Other warriors, including Fat Elk, Long Bone, and Buffalo Leg, sat in a wedge behind Flying Hawk. Their position argued in the war leader's favor, since they backed him despite the disaster. Brave Man sat to one side, as befitted a new voice at the council. He ignored the speculative glances cast at Pale Raven, who sat beside him. He could feel the warmth of her body, and it satisfied something in his soul. Let the people stare and whisper behind their hands. Opinions about his woman wouldn't change what would happen tonight. Buffalo Tail raised his hand for silence.
Tell us what happened.
Flying Hawk told them, starting at the beginning, finally coming to the ambush.
I stopped short of the place.
Flying Hawk gestured to emphasize his words.
Brave Man warned me. He told me we would be discovered by the Black Point and that an ambush would occur in a drainage between two sandstone-capped walls. I then had to decide what to do. Should I let this lone warrior go? If I did, would Brave Man's vision come true? Would we suffer a terrible defeat when this man escaped to tell his people of our presence? Or was this the place Brave Man saw in his vision? The sandstone couldn't be climbed where we were, so I couldn't send one of my men to look over the top.
Brave Man nodded to himself as he fingered his chin.
Just as I saw in the dream. Yes, power fills the gray mist of the dream. Imagine what I would know if I could penetrate the gray haze and command the golden bliss.
I thought about it as we chased the Black Point warrior. I sent two warriors ahead since the Black Point had hurt himself fleeing from us. I thought the two warriors would spring the trap if there were one, and might kill the lone warrior if there weren't. Meanwhile, we waited. The brush was thick in the canyon and offered many places for the Black Point to hide. After a while, it looked like it wasn't a trap. Would the Black Point let one of their own be hunted like a wounded rabbit? The two men I had sent ahead called out for me to come and to bring the rest of our group so we could kill the hiding warrior and be on our way. No sooner had we stepped into the canyon than the caprock above exploded with darts.
Flying Hawk turned to stare at Brave Man.
It was just the way you warned me. The 10 I took with me, 4 are dead. Flute, 2 shields, White Smoke and Clap's hands. Their widows are mourning, cutting off their hair and slashing their arms even as we speak.
Sunfeathers leaned his head back to stare at the night sky.
Do any of the warriors who followed Flying Hawk wish to add anything? Dispute anything?
Yellow Rock turned to the light. He had a long face with a hooked nose. A round circle had been tattooed on his forehead.
I went with Flying Hawk. I was present during all of the things he spoke of. I would want everyone to know that I urged him forward when the Black Point ran into the canyon to hide in the brush. He held me back, fearing a trap. I do not blame Flying Hawk. I would follow him on a raid again. I have spoken.
I don't think Flying Hawk made a mistake. I think it was power. I think power worked against us.
People shifted uneasy glances toward Brave Man.
It was power. We were meant to learn a lesson.
He looked around, finding nothing but suspicion and worry in the faces of the audience.
It is the wrong time to war on the Black Point. I've discussed it with the voices in my head, and I have heard their counsel. I was warned about Flying Hawk's raid, and I tried to stop it. I called Flying Hawk to my lodge to warn him. I didn't understand why the power would have gone bad, but it's come clear to me since. Thunderbird does not want us warring with the Black Point right now. Power calls us to war against the Wolf people. They block the way to the south. As they wiped out the White Clay, they would wipe out the name of the Broken Stones.
Brave Man paused, making a circular gesture with his palm down.
Just like a man might smooth dirt with his hand, the name of the Broken Stones would be heard no more. Where we sit this evening, only silence would remain. Not even the whisper of the wind in the sagebrush would recall the Broken Stones.
Those standing closest to Brave Man backed up a step, crowding those behind.
That is the warning of the dream. The time has come for us to turn on a greater enemy, the Wolf people. The lesson is there for all to see. the White Clay warred with the Broken Stones and the Black Point. Their warriors were killed, and their strength disappeared like blood through an open wound. In the end, the wolf people dragged them down like an old buffalo bull. The bones of the White Clay lie bleaching in the sun. What do the Broken Stones wish for their bones?
I have had no such dream.
Nor did you dream about the ambush of Flying Hawk's war party.
Tell them of your power.
I don't know what to think of your power, Soul Flyer. I think you have a different kind of power from mine. Maybe stronger, maybe not. But men must hear the words of power, and then make their own decisions. My power says we should go south. I don't know why we are pushed that way. Power uses people in different ways for its own purposes.
Brave Man took a malicious pleasure in the use of Old Falcon's words. A doubling of power came from turning the dead man's words against him. Flying Hawk raised his hands.
When we were fleeing from the Black Point, I called out to Thunderbird, telling the messenger of Sun's power that if he would save the rest of us, I would follow the power Brave Man has brought us.
Sunfeathers didn't move a muscle as he studied Flying Hawk. Buffalo Tail shifted uneasily.
Do you think Brave Man has brought us power?
Brave Man could hear feet scuffing the earth and the rustle of robes being resettled.
I think he brings power. We all watched him kill Hawksbeard. Some people said that Brave Man would die of his wounds, but he survived and warned me about the trap. I refused to believe him at first. I believe him now. If Brave Man's power says we should war on the wolf people, then I think we should. I have no more to say.
Buffalo Tail stood, gesturing for silence.
My people, we have heard Flying Hawk's story of what happened on the raid. I think he did a good job leading the raid. I think we shouldn't hold him responsible for what happened.
He turned his heavy-lidded eyes on Brave Man.
Instead of worrying about Flying Hawk's courage and sense, we should consider Brave Man's vision of raiding the wolf people.
Brave Man struggled to stand, leaning on Pale Raven to cushion the throbbing pain in his stiff leg. He studied the people, reading uncertainty in their eyes and in the tight set of their mouths. Some glanced worriedly about. Others looked grim. Fear glittered in the eyes of the elderly.
Now, Brave Man, tell them the way.
Our way has always been south, people of the sun. For the moment, we have a chance to catch our breath, but how long will it be until the Snowbird, or the Hollow Flute, or the Wasp Clan begins to cast covetous eyes at the rich lands we now hunt? I know, some will say let them come. The warriors of the Broken Stones will send them running north again, bearing their dead to weeping widows.
Brave Man pivoted on his good foot, challenging those who watched him with reservation.
The White Clay told themselves that very thing. With my own ears, I heard it spoken just that way. The warriors who laughed and threatened the Broken Stones and the Black Point are dead. Their clan is only a memory.
We are the Broken Stones.
Buffalo Tail pulled himself up to full height.
The White Clay were never strong. They never had the power with them. All they wanted to do was stay in the Bug River Valley and hunt. They had no heart for war.
Is that what you think? That they had no heart for war? Think back. Count the dead, Buffalo Tail. Remember the faces and tell me if the White Clay didn't kill two for every one of their own dead.
Brave Man made an imploring gesture.
I was there. At no time did the White Clay number more than 10 tens of warriors, yet they kept you and the Black Point at bay for many seasons.
Sunfeathers peered up at Brave Man.
And they are gone today.
They are gone, but not because they didn't fight like cornered badgers. I knew those warriors. I can remember the gleam in their eyes when they talked of war. I felt the presence of their courage, but strong arms and hearts, even hearts filled with an anger as fierce as that of a silver bear, weren't enough to save the White Clay. They made a mistake.
What mistake?
They forgot the ways of power. They couldn't read the signs of the sun. They didn't heed their soul flyer, Old Falcon.
You are awfully young to be talking about the ways of soul flyers and power.
Power isn't tied to a man's age. It's tied to his soul, respected elder. The White Clay were destroyed when they split their strength into three bands. Two of those bands declared they would hold the Fat Beaver Valley with its wonderful hunting and mild wintering grounds. They refused what power asked of them. Now, the winter wind whistles through their bones.
Sunfeathers cocked his head, an amused expression on his face.
And you know what power asked of the White Clay?
Brave Man scuttled the urge to strangle the old man.
Yes, old one. The destiny of the Sun People lies in the south. Those who refuse to follow the path of the sun will be destroyed or discarded.
And what if we don't believe this vision of yours?
Whirling sparks rose to flicker out in the night sky. Tension gripped the people. A breeze wavered the flames and tugged at robe hems and fringes before going still again.
Then you too will be destroyed or discarded. Power will not be ignored. We can't help but follow the path of the sun. As long as we do, victory will follow upon victory. If we try to stay here or move back to the north, one disaster will pile upon another.
And you know these things, White Clay. What are you, brave man? Who are you?
He is old. He will regret this.
Brave Man smiled grimly and raised his hands to the starry skies, ignoring the agony in his knee as he stood free of Pale Raven's support.
I am the way of power, old one. I am the future of the Broken Stones.
You are...
Consider before you speak, Sunfeather. Who came into your camp with nothing? Who killed your most powerful warrior? Who dreamed and warned of the Black Point trap? I did that, Brave Man! I, who escaped from the camp of the dead despite Black Point power. I, who survived the last of the White Clay. Think carefully, Soul Flyer. Search yourself and ask if you know all the ways of power. Can you deny what I have said? Is your power the same as mine?
Sunfeather's lips twitched as he met Brave Man's glare.
I don't know what you are.
But I do, old one. I am the future.
Sunfeathers bristled and made the cutting off sign with his hand.
I think this is enough for tonight. We all need to think, to weigh the words of the elders against those of brash young men.
At that, the old soul flyer pushed past, the people parting before him. He walked pridefully away, a powerful man who knew his position. At the same time, anger bristled from his stiff back. Buffalo Tail stared into the fire.
Let's all go and think. Much has been said here tonight.
The people began to trickle away into the night in the shadows of the lodges. Flying Hawk rubbed his face and stood. He turned to Brave Man.
Is it true that the wolf people would wipe us out?
If you doubt, ask the White Clay.
And what about after we destroy the wolf people?
Brave Man pointed to the south.
There, beyond the lands held by the wolf people, is another land. I've seen the Sideways Mountains. Beyond them lies the land of the Earth people. The farther south you go, the more powerful the sun is. There, in the Wind Basin, people do not starve in winter. They have so much food they don't have to move to follow the herds. In a land so rich, the Broken Stones will grow strong. Our infants won't die of hunger. Power has shown me this way. The Earth people are not used to war. We will kill their warriors and take their women. Our way lies toward the sun. That is the reason we're driven to the south.
He leaned on Pale Raven and hobbled toward his lodge.
You have loosed a nest of hornets among us. Sunfeathers will do everything he can to stop you.
Let him try. For now, the seeds of the future have been cast upon the soil. They will grow strong and tall.
You have a lot of faith in yourself.
And power will not let me down. I will dream again. Soon. And when I do, the wolf people will know fear.
And you'll get your white ash?
She's almost mine.
Yes. Yes.